78 fusion centers across the country streamline information sharing during a terrorist attack or a natural disaster or any other time that information sharing is necessary. Those fusion centers bring together local, state, and federal agencies to deal with threats. Richard Spires is CEO of Resilient Network Systems, former Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and he is asking whether modern information sharing techniques like the fusion centers are actually making the country safer. He's writing in Federal Computer Week. Richard, it's great to talk to you as always. It was great to see you at Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg this week, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But your piece in FCW really gets right to that question, are we safer now than before September 11th, 2001? And you look at this from an information sharing perspective. Why is it important, do you think, to look at it that way before we actually review what you're looking at, Richard?
Well, Francis, I mean, you know, the issues that we saw that led to 9/11 really had to do with lack of information sharing, right? I mean, everybody you know, had bits and pieces of information, and if they were pulled together in an appropriate manner, and I think even since then, there have been numerous examples that can be cited where proper information sharing has really, really helped this country be much safer. And, you know, I'm here to say that we have made tremendous progress, and it's been really a pleasure to have been part of the apparatus that helped move that along when I was at DHS. Not that we don't have real issues to still conquer, but we're a much safer country today from the what's been done to highlight and to improve information sharing across from the intelligence community through the federal apparatus to state and local governments, even out to critical infrastructure companies, tribals. You know, it's really good to see the improvements that we've made.
You review some of the highlights of the Information and Sharing Environments Program Manager, Shmendra Paul, releasing his annual report, the most recent editions, the 2013 edition, and you point out four highlights in the piece that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and you write, the highlights from that annual report give a sense of that progress that you just discussed a moment ago, Richard, and the maturation of our efforts to share and safeguard information. Then you write, I would note that the ISE has helped spread the idea that innovation prospers when it's based on standards for sharing information. Has that been the hardest nut to crack, just to get everybody reconciled to the idea that standards are necessary and maybe they're not going to be your standards, but there's a good reason for you to come along for the ride?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, there's no doubt, and one of the things that Shmendra has really worked on is that issue of standards and driving the notion that, you know, if everybody is doing their own thing, it makes it much, much more difficult to accomplish information sharing. I think the good news is that culturally, I mean, a lot of this, at least to some degree, has melted away. I won't say completely, but there is now a recognition that we need to share information, particularly in regards to law enforcement information sharing, and that's really good. But that doesn't mean that we can do everything that we want to do, and there are still some real barriers. But this issue of standards has helped us. When I look at standards, for instance, something called GFIPM, I won't go into a lot of detail about it, but essentially a SAML-based standard so that you can actually, from an identity perspective, use a local identity store in order to be able to access and authenticate to, let's say, federal data sources for sensitive information.
The information sharing or the identity management element of information sharing, has that been one of the more difficult elements of information sharing to develop standards on or for organizations to agree how to standardize?
Yeah, and I think if you were to ask Shmendra, he would agree. Certainly last time I talked to him, that was one of the big things, is this issue of how do we do identity management when you're talking about sharing amongst literally thousands of organizations. When you get down to state and local governments, law enforcement, first responders, I mean, it's not practical for DHS or some other entity to try to enroll all these people and to manage that. So this notion of having standards, if you will, a level of care, if you will, regarding properly identity proofing an individual when they began, for instance, a sworn law enforcement officer, and then having the standards so that in an automated way you're able to access that identity information at a local level in order to authenticate and then authorize those individuals to be able to access sensitive data. You know, that's not easy, but we're making good progress.
Richard Spires was the CIO at the Homeland Security Department from 2009 to 2013. Now he's CEO of Resilient Network Systems and writing in Federal Computer Week. And you make four main recommendations. And I'm struck by these recommendations because you come right out and say it. Some of the gaps that exist in information sharing are cultural, Richard, and you talked about that a moment ago. But you write, many could be addressed through the proper use of emerging technologies that help ensure that information is being properly shared. That's good news, I think, because it's kind of the reverse of most of the problems that we try to take on in government, where the IT looks like it's okay, and it's the cultural barriers we have to get over. Because if you can get the culture right, and it's just the technology in many ways will evolve with the help and guidance of IT experts like you.
Yeah, I agree there, and it is heartening to see. I mean, I think culturally people do understand we really need to share, but you know, one aspect of that is though we need to still protect civil liberties. We need to protect privacy properly, right? So, yeah, we can't just release all of this sensitive information, but we need to actually do the proper data tagging of information so that you have the metadata, if you will, to know what you have. And then you have to have the business logic, okay, in these systems or in the network in order to be able to resolve, you know, once you've identified the individual that's trying to access some piece of data, you know, and authenticated them, and then you look at what their roles are, their attributes, you know, what the data they're trying to access, using that metadata and using business logic to say, you know, by policy or by even law, is it proper for them to be able to access this information? You know, that's a technology set of issues, right? And I'm not trying to say all the cultural issues are gone, but I think we really are moving in the right direction in this arena. It's just the scale and complexity that's the hard part here, because you are dealing with thousands of organizations, right? And there are many different regulations and laws that come into play when you're trying to share this type of information.
You write about this identity issue in your recommendations in your piece. We need a vibrant identity ecosystem. What does that look like and who runs it? You reference the NSTIC, National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, that lives at NIST. Jeremy Grant runs that and is widely acclaimed for the work that he's done there along with the rest of his team. Is that necessarily where this ecosystem would live, or does it just kind of perpetuate itself?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I'm not sure that we can answer all those questions right here and how this will evolve. But, you know, this idea of Jeremy and his team is trying to espouse with NSTIC of having an ecosystem that is privacy-enhancing, secure, resilient, interoperable, cost-effective, and easy to use. I mean, and I'll give, you know, I'm actually in the middle of this from the standpoint of the company that I'm running now, because we are working to deliver capabilities that help meet, if you will, the promise of what NSTIC's all about. And I'm just a huge believer that if we can solve these kinds of identity issues and address these issues around information sharing and law enforcement that I just talked about from a technology perspective, that technology base can be used in many different industries. We have similar kinds of problems in sharing across healthcare, right, where you have stovepipes of information, and yet there's major privacy issues with sharing data. We need a similar type of ecosystem in healthcare. And so I really do believe in what NSTIC is trying to do, and of course we're a vendor trying to work within that particular space.
We don't have time to look at all four of your recommendations, Richard. They're included in the piece, and it's linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But I do want to go to one of the others that you make, and that is aggressive implementation of new technologies and the upgrade, consolidation, and retirement of older systems to enable enhanced information sharing. I'm struck by what I'm hearing from your colleagues in the CIO community about how the conversation has evolved from, well, we can't afford to upgrade, we have to stick with our legacy systems, to we can't afford to run our legacy systems anymore, we have to upgrade. That's another element of this that I think is really encouraging, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, this is kind of the Holy Grail recommendation, right? I mean, when you look at the duplication of systems, when you look at some of the older technologies that just are just very, very difficult to bring forward and to be able to appropriately access and pull information out of. That is a big part of the problem here. I mean, we need to simplify. We need to rationalize systems. I'm just a huge believer we need to do that, not just for information sharing here, but for the good of federal IT. But it's also one of the harder things to do, to be honest with you, because the way we appropriate dollars in this federal government, the way things are managed, the way things are decisions are made, the lack of empowerment of CIOs across the federal enterprise, all those things make it difficult to do what I just said.
We just have a minute or two left, Richard. I mentioned that we saw each other at ELC this week. A lot of people came away from that conference thinking it was different than it had been in the past, and that's exactly what the leaders, Adrian Gardner and Kathy Coles, talked about on this program leading up to it. Did you come away with it from the event with that same idea that it wasn't just a bunch of talking heads in the front of the room and people either checking their eyelids for cracks or checking their email in the back of the room?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I really give them a lot of credit. I mean, this notion of bringing people together and using these human-centered design techniques to actually put us to work in the room rather than just to have someone up there stand up and drone on. It was fantastic to get government people working with industry people to address things like, how do we really implement shared services and solutions in government? I mean, that was the track that I worked on and helped out with. And I thought we came up with some really good ideas that, are hopefully going to be used to further the discussion and maybe even drive some change in how we're going about this, because we need to do these things. And we've been trying it for more than a decade, for instance, with shared solutions, with not an awful lot of, we've had some successes, but we need a lot more. And I thought it was very well done. I give them a lot of credit. And I really enjoyed myself. I mean, it was definitely worthwhile going this year.